Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here. Exciting times.
Do we have a special offer for listeners?
We do, and I want to make a disclaimer first that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, services, educational. We've done it for 43 years, and it's VR, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com is the shortcut URL to get to the newsletters, and the promo code, when you get to the promo code section on your order form, is 2022 half off, just as it sounds, 2022 HALFOFF. And you get 50% off of any of the newsletters for any time frame you specify. And as you know, we have about five or six newsletters up there, ranging from metals resource to market timing to cannabis and gold and so forth. So that's the opportunity.
The big news, the Fed hiking interest rates once again. And it's all historic because never have they hiked rates so high, so fast, so often. Do you think they've overdone it?
I personally think so, but they're so inept. They were wrong, you know, last year when they theoretically should have raised it. As you know, in my newsletter and in my commentary, I questioned the very existence of the Federal Reserve, have for many, many years. They've been responsible for as many recessions as booms, so they're a boom and bust organization. They're not even part of the federal government. They are a private entity corporation created by banks back in 1913, and the dollar has lost just about 98% of its value since the Fed has been initiated. And I keep quoting Ben Bernanke. I think it was back in 2008-09, and he admitted in an interview that he says, we caused it, it's our fault, referring to the Great Depression and the fact that the Fed raised rates back then and actually helped trigger or exacerbate the depression. So we have really a nasty institution out here. It should be free market. In the U.S. history, Alexander Hamilton, one of our early presidents, actually abolished the national bank back then, paid off the national debt, and didn't trust banks, and we fell back into the trap again afterwards, before the Civil War and afterwards in the U.S., he made the right move. I mean, the incident, and right now we're having some Congress, and maybe I have something to do with it indirectly, because I post everywhere that are beginning to question the validity of the bank. And in fact, one of the most notable economists out there, Mohammed El Arian, he used to be with PIMCO. He came out with a statement on October 17th, says it's getting harder to justify an independent Fed. So some congressmen are also saying that, and obviously nothing's going to happen overnight. But I think the days of the Fed are sort of coming to an end, and whether it's 1 year or 10 years, people realizing that it's not inept institution. It's an inept institution. I mean, people sitting there, I'm watching the interview, people with their tongues hanging out, you know, jaw dropping, listening to this guy, Jay Powell. And if you're old enough, you remember Paul Volcker back in 1979-80, how he just tried to destroy the the world when he drove interest rates up to 20%. And I remember buying a CD, I think at 16% back then, and he caused all kinds of damage. The real issue is the Fed is not the answer. You know, you can raise interest rates and destroy the economy, and it affects the world. I mean, it sets a standard for the world, Canada, U.S., everywhere, when they see rates going up here. And, you know, basically there are other factors. It's just not the fact that money was spent indiscriminately by the Democrats, you know, with COVID money going to everybody, and now the Social Security payments are going to go up, I think, about 9% next year, which is good for me. I collect some Social Security. I'm in that bracket. But that's going to create another inflation boost with people more cash in their pocket. I mean, there are millions and millions of people that have Social Security, so they get that extra cash. That's almost like getting free checks during COVID on a certain level because you get it every month. It's just not a one-time payment. So we got potential war, likely war in Europe. In fact, I think, frankly, it already it's underway. It's just that we're not talking about it every day. You know, threat of nuclear attack, Chinese doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, from TikTok all the way to an invasion of Taiwan, and or even, you know, a possible, you know, attack on the United States itself. There are all these kind of rumors circulating that that's sort of their big plan is really, you know, to come after us. And maybe that's a multi-decade comment, but we have a lot of stuff out there. Inflation with commodity prices, supply chain issues seem to be getting a little bit better, but you really can't believe everything. I mean, what's going on right now, Jim? You got potential shortages of diesel fuel, which could, you know, kill the trucking industry, which could really send inflation soaring. The rail workers, I think, are still negotiating. They haven't settled yet. You know, that create a big problem. You know, I can't even think of all the bad things that are happening out there. The list is so long, potential, and you got sociopath politicians, you know, and there's a big election coming up in the U.S. next week, and that direction should have some, you know, bearing on where money is being spent or not. Obviously, if the Democrats stay in control, they're going to spend like crazy, as they have, so no matter what Jay Powell does at the Fed, the forces are fighting each other, and that's only, as I said, part of the problem with all the other issues around the world, geocosmic, geopolitical. So I'm not a happy camper. And, you know, we do have some cyclical work that suggested, you know, a year-end rally. We try to rally. Maybe they'll try to do something around Thanksgiving, and you got Christmas, the Santa Claus rally, historically, and from what level? Is it from here or not? So, you know, it's a tenuous time, and I think history says that if the Fed has got its foot on the pedal, and we have all these other issues around the world, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm. And aren't these interest rate hikes inflationary on their own because they drive up the cost of owning a home or doing business?
Absolutely, you know, and how high are rates going to go? And I remember back in the way back in 1980, you know, when I was buying a home in Chicago, you know, rates were up there 16% to 20%, and I got a deal on a mortgage at 11%, and I was happy because I negotiated directly with the seller, so I didn't have to go through the banks. So 7% interest rates now in the U.S. seem expensive, but I paid 11, and that was decades ago. So it could go to that level. In fact, I'm reasonably confident that could happen, and or perhaps higher. We perhaps, in the worst case, could mirror the 1980 scenario. So 16-20% interest rates, what's that going to do to business and, you know, to home buying and financing and so forth? So, there's things outside of our control that happened. You know, the COVID thing, you know, I don't think was any accident, but that, you know, threw a monkey wrench into the, you know, world economy. And, you know, we have just like crazy politicians doing crazy things, the border situation here in the United States, you know, the woke movement, which, by the way, has affected some companies and stocks. I mean, Disney, for example, lost half its value because they decided they want to be a woke company, and there are other companies whose stocks have significantly declined because of that idiocy. So, you know, the bottom line is these are other factors that affect prices and the market. So we're going to see what happens after the election, see if we get a, you know, possibility of some type of a year-end rally. I don't know what would trigger that unless the plunge protection team, which was created by Ronald Reagan back in 1988, decides to jump in here and just buy stocks and drive them up. I mean, after all, Japan, I think, owns just about the entire stock market in Japan and the ETFs there, and they've been supporting their market for a long time. How do you know the U.S. won't do that and just come in and, you know, if the Fed could do a lot of things that they're talking about. When you listen to Powell, I'm sort of laughing. He says we have a lot of, you know, tools in our, or, you know, quivers in our, our toolbox or whatever the expression was. They don't even talk about what they really do. It's not just interest rates. They could expand the money supply secretly while they're raising rates. In fact, some of the data that I've seen says that they were actually expanding the money supply in the last couple of weeks rather than contracting it. So they said they were going to contract it, whether it was just a temporary measure or what, while they're raising rates, but they're also out there but they could potentially buy stocks and bonds in private companies and in the stock market itself, which they've already done under the Freedom of Information Act. We found out a whole bunch of stuff that the Fed does that they don't talk about. I don't see Jay Powell on the national television say, oh, we just bought some stock in, Harley Davidson, which is what they did years ago, or bonds and other companies. I mean, they're just off the charts, should be abolished. It's totally crazy. No consistency, up and down. They're always late. It's just a joke. And of course, the Congress in the United States is off the charts too, spending money like a drunken sailor, crazy programs, all kinds of things. So, how are we going to get out of this inflation scenario, Jim? I mean, that's really the question. I mean, I don't know what straw is going to break the camel's back here, whether rates have to go up or there has to be some cataclysmic event. I mean, I just know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. So batten down the hatches, and if you can trade a little bit, there are, a couple hot stocks here and there. But outside of that, that's my spiel.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, would you consider this more of a supply chain problem caused inflation or an oversupply of money inflation?
It's both. It's both. The COVID created the supply chain issue because, factories shut down and, businesses had to institute their activities afterwards and all kinds of things. And of course, the money supply, sending people $1,500 checks and, continuing to spend money on a, government level, all added fuel to the fire. That's what drove stocks up. Zero interest rates, free money, checks being sent to people. It's just, a wild blow-off type situation that we experienced, and unfortunately we're going to have already paid a price for it, but the price could get even higher. But, I don't have a reading in front of me of every industry, every situation, but, in terms of agricultural stuff, for example, I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed, but certain things are not on the shelf anymore that I normally could buy. The shelves are a little, a little more barren than I've seen in a long time. When I went to Costco or Trader Joe's or, other big supermarkets, there seems to be, a little scarcity issue going on in certain segments. So, not just related to food and, in terms of production, there's still automobiles, deliveries are slow because of needed parts or is it chips or whatever. So, I don't know how long it's going to take. I guess you got to look at each sector, each, company and, see what's happening. I found one of my favorite stocks, Generac, who has been killed in the last year. They create those generators, in case there's emergency power needed. And I heard from a source that they're having problems finding the parts to put the generators together. So that may have been part and parcel to the decline in their stock, even though they run ads all over national television about how you should own a generator. So in that instance, I guess supply chain issue was critical.
Has the lesson been learned that it's you shouldn't just rely on the cheapest supplier? Maybe the most reliable supplier should be the one you sign the long-term contract with?
Sounds good to me. I guess so, yep. In your own business, you always want to deal with those that you can rely on. But we have no control over this stuff. We're just observers, and then we're being reported news which may or may not be accurate. You can't trust the media. We know that for a long time. The media is controlled in the U.S. You got to go to other sources. You don't know where the truth really relies, on supply chain, on the state of fertilizer or agricultural situations. We just don't get it, and it's really, you got to sort of be hands on and be in touch with some sources directly to really figure it all out. But it's still there. It's still a problem. But, you know, that's not my goal. I mean, my responsibility. I don't really go after and search that stuff out because I don't know if I have enough sources to give you. All I can do is watch the markets and see how fertilizer stocks are acting or how commodities are acting. Watch the U.S. dollar, which affects commodity prices, for example, and check the overall market, check sentiment, check the cyclical picture, and try to put a scenario together. And so far, we've been pretty good. One interesting thing is we do put out this annual forecast model every year, and comes out in late January. And if you have a copy of it, our subscribers who subscribe to it, and actually I post it occasionally on my daily emails, actually showed a low for the year around November 2nd, or a low point around November 2nd, which was coincident with this Fed meeting we just had and the big sell-off we had on Wednesday. It wasn't necessarily the lowest low that we had, but it was a big down day approaching recent lows. So maybe we're going to get, you know, what they call it, the turkey shoot, you know, the Thanksgiving rally here in the U.S., or like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the Santa Claus rally. Maybe they'll try to rally here a little bit since they did so much damage so quickly. You know, it's always a dangerous time trading around the Federal Reserve meetings because you get huge moves. You know, it was up 300 points intraday yesterday morning in the Dow Industrials. Then it sold off 800 points. Then it was down minus 500 into the close. I think it was down over 350 this morning on Thursday. We were making this recording, and last I checked, it's even or up a little bit. So I think this is all part and parcel to this time of year and the Fed actions. So you have to have your seatbelt on and your helmet on, and you have to be strapped into your seats with the volatility of the market. But I'm very cynical about, you know, the market exploding, you know, to new highs or anything like that. I think that's a scenario is way down the road, and particularly when I listen to the financial media, they have all these experts coming on and what stock picks they would really think you should be looking at now. And in this environment, honestly, you should be out of the market in cash or short. And if you want to trade some things, and if you think we can get a little year-end rally here, you sort of trade that. But it's a good time to, you know, why not buy U.S. Treasury bills, which, you know, are 4.5%. Of course, I wouldn't keep, I would keep those very short-term, because if my hunch is right and interest rates are going a lot higher, which I think they could and will, you don't want to be locked into a 4.5% rate when perhaps 3, 4, or even 6 months from now you can get 6% or 7% on a treasury bill. So I would keep your expirations down to 2 or 3 months or so and just be rolling over. So why not get, you know, guaranteed money from the U.S. government or whether the Canadian government has equivalent bonds and just or bills, and get your 4.5% or 5% and just sit back and wait till the storm is over.
On the geocosmic front, they have found some very large asteroids hanging out near the sun that could potentially be civilization enders here on Earth. Was it good news then that DART, the experimental impact on a small asteroid, actually changed its orbit? And eventually, I guess, if we have to use one, just send a bigger rocket to push it a little stronger because it's a bigger object.
Right. Well, you know, we're putting a lot of eggs into our basket, assuming DART's going to work on bigger asteroids. From what I heard, I think you had told me this, you know, these are pretty huge asteroids that they just discovered, you know, much, much larger than the one that we, you know, attacked on the DART project. And, you know, what if it misses, or, you know, how many are we going to send up as a backup in case it doesn't work? I mean, one of these things hits, it could be, as you just said, an end of life situation on the planet. And when I talk about this stuff, and I mention in the newsletters, you know, people think, oh, you're crazy, you know, why even bring stuff like that up? I mean, you know, did, you know, outlier events like COVID or a super volcano going off, a lot of disasters around the planet, when they happen to you, they're major and they're life-changing to other people that they don't experience. Look at the people in Florida that got hit by the hurricane here in the last couple of weeks on the southwest part of Florida. It was, you know, major, you know, a major event to them, but not to us because, you know, we're not experiencing it. So I always think about what's out there. We check solar flares. We check volcanic activity, you know, all kinds of stuff that's going around the world that could affect, you know, growth of crops and our own well-being. And, you know, looking at asteroids sounds crazy, but, you know, my belief is we had high civilization on this planet. planet years ago, could be a million years ago, got wiped out, and we keep starting over. There's been artifacts that never been found. I think you had mentioned a couple to me that just don't make sense, that could be millions of years old, perhaps, that are tools that were found. It's just crazy. You know, we really don't know our history. Archaeologists are afraid to talk about it because it doesn't fit their scheme of things. It doesn't work, doesn't make sense, you know, like, you know, it doesn't fit the pre-designed scheme of things. And if they don't realize, you know, there were, in my opinion, you know, very high civilizations on this planet. They don't have to be extraterrestrial or anything that. We could have just been in a super high place. If you read many of the East Indian Hindu Sanskrit texts, they talk about flying machines and wars in the sky and all kinds of stuff in their ancient texts. There's also reference to there was a time before the moon, so apparently there was a time when we didn't have a moon around the Earth. It wasn't necessarily created when the Earth was formed, as many, I guess scientists have talked about for decades. There's all kinds of theories out there about what reality really is for us. So it's amazing to talk about. Thanks for bringing up the subject, because it's nice talking about something other than the stock market every second. But certainly one of these asteroids that they discovered, you know, gets crazy and doesn't conform to what, you know, we would hope it would do, and we're not successful with DART, you know, batting down the hatches. Nothing means anything after that point. It's going to be a disaster. But let's be optimistic and hope that, you know, with our secret space program and other stuff going on, we have the technology out there to divert such an event.
And maybe we could even capture it, lasso it into a nearby orbit and mine the thing.
That's it. There are big possibilities out there. In fact, there's an article in my newsletter that I put out about mining one of the asteroids, and apparently one that they identified has more gold on it than it has ever been discovered here on Earth. And, you know, who knows? You know, since we have a secret space program out there, maybe we're out there already mining the damn thing. Maybe that's why gold hasn't done well, because they're bringing in gold from an asteroid that they don't tell us about. But in any event, there is one that's been identified. And whether it's gold or the need for rare earths and other minerals, apparently the asteroids do afford a tremendous opportunity for us to mine and to, find, various minerals and stuff that we really need on Earth for technology and expansion into the universe, including going to Mars and everything else. So, it's a very interesting times, Jim.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's really a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.